Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Welcome back, everyone, to Teachable Moments. It's Teachable Moments Tuesday. Hope everyone enjoyed their holiday. I had a good day, and I'm glad to be back with you today. As I do every Tuesday, I'm going to get started with Mama Says from my pastor and mother, Carolyn Porter. Mom, are you ready?
I'm ready, Amber. Good evening.
Good evening.
And to your guests and all of your listening audience, I'd like to say, great is the Lord, and he is greatly to be praised. Right quick, I'd like to share a thought that's rested in my spirit during the course of this day. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, and it is the 8th verse, where it really deals with thinking on these things. The verse says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, the word of the Lord says, think on these things. And so I would just like to encourage our youth, seniors, and our in-betweens. Sometimes we have difficult days. Sometimes our thoughts are not always positive, and it's hard to yank them back. But the word of the Lord gives the remedy, gives the recipe, very simple, to think on good things. So I want to encourage the saints, those who know the Lord, even those who don't know them, that they can rejoice in the Lord once they set their mindset, change the pattern of their thoughts, and begin to think on things that are honest. Whatsoever things are just, there's a difference in being honest and being just. Amen. And whatsoever things are pure and whatsoever things are lovely, think on loving things. Think on things that have no adulterous motives and adulterous things involved. Think on things that are virtuous and things that you can offer praise to the Father above for. Finally, my brethren, yes, when we get down and despondent, there is a way up. We can give God praise, we can pray, and then we can just settle and set our minds on good things. I give you that today. Miss Amber, I'm finished sharing with you all today. If there be any praiseworthy things going on in your life, I encourage you and I encourage the world, give God praise. Put into practice thinking on the things that are lovely, that are pure, that are of good report. Not gossip. Oh, no. Not even things that are being said on the radio. It says things that are true, not fake. Think on good, true things, and the Lord will bless you. That's what Mama has to say for the day. God bless you, Amber. It's in your hands.
Thank you. And we'll talk to you next week on the show. Have a good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, you guys, I have a guest. Her name is Tamara Dix. She is a pastor of youth and young adult at Cedar Grove Tabernacle of Praise. In this role, she points to the hearts of millennials, and she points them toward the heart of God. She is the author of Whispers from My Father, Restoration Through Conversations with God. Her second work, Mind Games, Dismantling the Demons of Depression, is slated to release in 2018. Currently, Tamara is studying pre-law in North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University. She believes in being armed with the necessary tools to change life as we know it and to find that great plan that God has for us. Series teachings include private prayer, public power, but he loved her, sexual sin, soul ties and promiscuity, breaking hearts, recognizing unhealthy relationship patterns, and becoming a woman of kingdom influence. And she is going to share with us tonight 13 lessons from 13 reasons. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce her now so she can kind of give us the background of this 13 reasons why story that's now taken over and got a lot of people talking on Netflix. Welcome, Tamara Dix. How are you?
I am well. How are you? How are you, lady?
I'm fine. I'm great. I'm well as well. So there's a big buzz about on Netflix about 13 reasons why.
Yes, yes.
And so, go ahead.
No, I was going to say yes. It's something that has really taken over a lot of conversation on social media, in the news, and so on. It's a rather important book that became a Netflix series, and it really aims at the heart of millennials.
Right. So I'm going to ask you, I know what it's about a little bit because I've done my research and I've heard about it. I haven't watched it yet, and I'm probably going to start watching, see if I can catch up, at least to see what it is for myself. But what exactly is 13 Reasons Why about?
Okay. 13 Reasons Why is essentially the story about a young girl named Hannah Baker who her family moves to a new town to start over. And so she becomes the new kid in school.
Mm-hmm.
She tries to make friends the honest way. And through a series of events, she makes one bad decision, and that one bad decision causes more, or that one wrong decision causes more wrong people to enter her life and more wrong circumstances to happen. And it drives Hannah to the point where she becomes severely depressed. She is, she feels betrayed. She feels like she doesn't have a friend in the world because they're constantly doing something to tear her down. She is attacked by other girls emotionally. She is lied to and lied on. She, later on in the story, she is brutally attacked physically, sexually by a male classmate. And so many other things in between, so that by the end of this all, she's lost all hope. She can no longer cope with the circumstances of her life. And like many teenagers and even adults, she believes that suicide is her best option. And so she, before committing suicide, she sits down to retell why this all happens. But she does it in a way that is dramatic, to say the least. She decides to record 13 audio tapes addressed to everyone who had a hand in her suicide. And she essentially says to them, if you're listening to this tape, you're one of the reasons why.
Oh, wow.
And so the assignment given is the assignment is given to one person, and his job is to make sure the tape is circulated to everyone involved in her demise. Her parents are at a complete loss because, of course, they don't know why their daughter did what she did. And so there's so many other things, and there's so many layers. And while this story is largely about this young girl's, this character's suicide, I was compelled to study it and present it to our students, not only because so many of them were reading it and watching it, but because it's almost a universal story of the life of a teenager. Now, mind you, many of these students have what we would call champagne problems, but their underlying problems, the feeling lost, the feeling, the desire to be accepted, the need for friends, and, you know, wanting to fit in, all of those things are common to every person who has ever been a teenager.
Right.
And so you've taken this story. Now, let me ask, and if you said it, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Is this based on a true story?
It is not a true story, but it is a novel. I cannot remember the author's name at this moment, but it is a very popular novel.
Okay. So based off of this story and the hype that is going on about this, you've felt led to do your research, and so you've come up with 13 lessons from 13 reasons?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And actually, I came up with about 20 lessons, but narrowed it back down to 13. And like I said, this is a story that no matter what your station is in life, you can relate to being a lonely teenager or a misunderstood teenager, for that matter.
Okay.
Most
and
of us can relate.
So I wanted to say, based on the severity of this show and what is going on, we can't really get it all out in half an hour. So I'm just letting the audience know that we'll be picking up. We'll be going through these lessons because it's vital today, especially for our millennials and our youth. But we're going to do what we can do today, and then Tamara Dix will be on the show again next week to finish up what we've left off. So it's important. Bullying is major in society right now, and so we're going to address these. So whenever you're ready, Dr. Tamara Dix, and I keep calling you doctor, let's get started with
you,
these 13 lessons. Let's get
okay.
started.
Okay, great. Well, the first lesson that I came stumbled upon with all of this, I just labeled it "Own It," because essentially, what happens is Hannah makes a decision to sneak out of the house and go meet a boy that she had just met in this new town, a boy that she was just getting to know. And, you know, her intentions were truly innocent. However, the fact that she made the decision to sneak out, to go against her parents' rules and go and meet this boy in the park at night, whom she barely knew, and then by the end of the story, she's committing suicide, and this young man that she goes to meet, she labels him as reason number one. Well, when speaking to the students, I labeled this the very first point, "Own It," because the thing here is that she tells him, Justin is the character's name, she says, "You're my number one reason. You set all of this in motion." When the fact of the matter is, it was her breaking the rules set by her household that led her to a place where he could tell the lie that he told.
Right.
And that was the beginning of the destruction of her reputation. And see, it's so easy to point blame and to be upset when someone hurts our feelings or someone lies on us. But ultimately, we have to really look at our role in it.
Right.
And so that's the first point.
Be accountable.
Yes.
Own yourself.
Yes.
Own your part
Own
in it.
It. That's okay. Right. And it's hard. It's hard to say, "I did something foolish." It's hard to say that this thing happened because I made a mistake. But we have to become people who are willing to face the hard facts of our life, and that's whether we are 14 or 44.
Okay, that's true.
Okay. Yeah.
Good point.
And, okay, do you want me to just roll through the points like that? Is that fine?
Yeah, let's roll. Let's go.
Okay, great. The second point that I came across or came to from this study, from this series, is disobedience does not end well, ever.
Okay.
As I mentioned, she snuck out of the house. She broke her parents' rules. She went against what she knew to do was right in order to go and have this little sweet moment with this boy. And that moment leads to him taking a picture that ends up going viral through the whole school, and truly it was misrepresented for it was misrepresented, or what actually happened was misrepresented by what he allowed people to believe happened and what he eventually began telling people happened. And I'm trying to be careful because I don't want to spoil spoil this for those who still intend to watch it. But even if you feel like you're learning too much, please, please, please watch it, especially if there is a child in your life and you're struggling with how to get inside the mind of that teenager. You know, that student who just, you ask them, how was your day? Fine. What'd you learn today? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's so frustrating because parents want to know, adults, we want to help. And sometimes we forget that there is a difference between talking to a student or talking to a child and communicating with a child. They're two very different things. But, again, disobedience does not end well ever. And that's, you know, we can look all over the Bible and see where folks were disobedient and where that landed them. And it's no different in our life today. If you disobey the rules, and you know, like I know, you know, growing up with a black mama, you disobey the rules, there are some consequences that just don't feel good.
Serious consequences,
you know.
Yes.
You know, and some of us grew up at a time where you could mess up down the street and you got whooped all the way home by every neighbor you passed.
Hello.
You know. You know, so we really got to begin to drill into our people, into our students, that disobedience is not a good look. It doesn't end well. And we have to do it in a way that effectively communicates consequences, but not in a way that they're afraid to talk to us. You know, we have to let them know that no matter what you're going through and no matter what punishment you may end up getting, it's so much better to just talk to us than to let us find out later that something is going on with you that we could have helped you with, okay?
So let me ask you a question.
Okay.
To a comment that you just made, you said that when you ask a child, how was your day, good, you know, what was the next question you asked, just minor questions, what did you learn, nothing. Opinion for the audience, do you think that a parent should push past that, or should they get someone else involved with whom they can have a better reputation with, or someone who they have a better rapport with to break that? How do you suggest they break into there?
Well, I think that both of those methods are good and may be necessary one at a time or in combination, just depending upon the level of conversation that's needed with your child. I do think that we have to maybe approach it differently. You know, instead of asking the typical typical closed-ended question, we need to rephrase it in a way that gives them an opportunity to really express what they're thinking about. And, you know, so often children will shut down because they don't want to see the rejection or the, oh, my God, in our faces. And so, you know, we have to learn to listen and without reacting.
Okay.
Perfect example. I had a student a few years ago in ministry, and this was something that was actually quite common. She was young. She probably was about 12 at the time, and the young lady goes to her mom and happily says, Mom, I've got a boyfriend. And Mom says, no, you don't. And she's like, yes, I do. And Mom is saying, no, you don't. You don't have a boyfriend. You're too young for a boyfriend. You're not responsible enough for a boyfriend. You don't know what boys. You know, she just goes on this long litany of things. And the entire time, you know, all the girl is thinking is, I just wanted to share this moment with my mom.
Right.
I didn't want a five-minute lecture on why this isn't going to work. You know, and as much as all of those things were absolutely true, what it did was it caused the young lady to shut down and go and seek the counsel of her peers or go and share that moment with her peers who had as much experience and knowledge as she did.
Exactly.
Now, fortunately, she did feel like she could talk to me because the situation did end up getting out of hand, you know, and everything that her mother lectured her about did happen or was on the verge of happening, but because her mother had told her all those things in a manner that almost seemed like she was scolding her, she was very uncomfortable going to her to tell her because she didn't want to get yelled at. She didn't want to feel demeaned. She didn't want to feel like she was being judged. So she came to me hoping and praying that I would be impartial and just give her some sound advice. And praise God, you know, he gave me the strength to do it because I truly was listening to everything that happened and was just like, and on the inside I'm going, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
But my face was very steady. My tone didn't change. And I, you know, just continued to be warm and loving toward her in that moment. You know, and I think that that's part of the solution is we really have to be careful how we frame our conversations with our students. And so, you know, that was an instance of the parent. The, yes, they probed further, but the method that they used really shut the student down. And then she invited someone else into the situation. And so it ended up working out, and it was a life lesson for her.
Right.
And she's now making much better decisions all around. So we have to be mindful of that. One tip that I can say that a parent can use is that we have to notice the times in a day that our children are more likely to talk. For instance, some children are more chatty or more open at bedtime or before dinner, and others are more talkative in the car on the way home. And so when they are, we just have to be available, you know. And I've learned that a child who feels they are heard will tell you everything.
Okay.
They will tell you things you do not think you want to know, but that you need to know as long as they feel like you are listening.
So I just want to piggyback on that because that's an important lesson. Rephrasing your questions and listening without reacting. So for the parent that's saying, well, I didn't want her to have a boyfriend, and no, she didn't. So your suggestion is to listen before reacting. And then what does the parent do? Loop back around during another time and express that they shouldn't, what they really wanted to say. Just don't take the child out of that moment. Is that what you're saying? Allow them to have that moment.
Okay. Don't dash their happiness. I mean, you know, it can be something that they – now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying if they're saying, Mom, I want to steal a car and go drive across town without a license. You know, I'm not saying just allow them to go break the law or do something reckless. But, you know, recognizing the moment, read the situation for what it is, and understand that, you know, with things like relationships, you are in a very sensitive area. Because if you're raising a teenager or heading into that phase, you don't want your relationship to be such that they don't think they can talk to you. And so you have to be, you know, I'm not saying stop being a parent, but that those parent reactions, those typical knee-jerk reactions, we have to be mindful and careful of those because we don't want them to shut down. And like I said, they'll just end up talking to their peers who have as much wisdom as they do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, it's getting close to end. Maybe we can get maybe one or two more of the
Of
the lesson?
Yes, absolutely. Point number three, or lesson number three, is there's always a map. In the series, the character, she drew a map of all the significant places where all of these significant events happened, and then she goes on to explain what happened at each place. Well, I'd like to think that whenever we find ourselves in a situation, and again, this is whether you're 14 or 44, there's always a map that can tell you how you got there. You know, so often we end up saying, well, I don't know how this happened, or I don't know how I got to this place. And the fact of the matter is we really just have to retrace our steps, you know, and yes, things can happen. We can make bad decisions. We can enter into something blindly or ill-informed, and that's what kind of knocks the wind out of us. But truly, there's always a map to tell us exactly how we got there. And so that's what we have to do, especially if you find yourself or a child finds themselves or even a young adult finds themselves. You know, you ever hear somebody say, why do I keep choosing the same type of person? You know, when they find themselves dating the bad guy or the bad girl over and over again, you know, new face but same person basically. And so at some point we have to stop looking at the other person and really begin to retrace our own steps. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's always, always a map, and that's lesson number three. And I'm going to hasten to lesson number four. Lesson number four, even the good kids can fall to pressure.
Okay.
And I arrived at this point because the good kid or the good guy, his name is Clay, he's Dudley Do-Right, for lack of a better example. You know, he's that guy who just, you know, he's the peacemaker. He's going to be honest with you, and he's, you know, going to tell the truth. And his truth, his personal truth, was that he really loved this girl, but he did not have the courage to tell her. And so there's a scene where, or actually there are several opportunities where he had a clear path, he had a clear moment to express his feelings for her, and he, at one point he's disrupted by the picture that goes viral. Another time he sees her talking to someone else, and he presumes that, that you know, now's not the time, I can't say anything, or he starts listening to the rumors. He remains her friend, but he,
right.
over a period of time, gets distant. You know,
right.
So he began to fall to or be affected by the pressure that he was receiving from other teens, either directly or indirectly through gossip and different things that was that were occurring. And so, you know, even the good guy, even the kid, you know, the child who does not disappoint their parents ever, the one who brings home straight A's all the time, does their chores, never has to be told to clean their room. You know, that dreamy child that everyone hopes for.
Wish
even
they had.
That child. Yeah, yeah. Even that child can fall to pressure. Even that child can make a bad decision. And that's what we have to remember. So, again, that when something happens, we don't put on that, oh, my God, face and panic, you know, so that we are able to keep the lines of communication open and make sure that they understand that, yes, we are their parents. Yes, we are the adult in their life. But in those moments when they need someone, we
right.
have to be a friend, you know. We have to be someone that they are comfortable crying to and comfortable discussing these things with. So that's number four. Do we have time for number five?
Let's try. Let's hit it.
Okay. All right. Lesson number five, there's a clear line between what you share and what you don't.
Okay.
And I think in a social media age, that you would think that that's something that doesn't need to be stated, especially for adults. But it, you know, since most of my friends, followers, and so on social media are all adults, it's always interesting to me to see those things that make me say within myself, I don't think I would have posted that. But even beyond that, the things that we share live and in person, there's a situation in this story where Hannah, the main character, believes that someone is stalking her and taking photos of her from outside of her bedroom window. She decides to share this with someone she believes to be a friend rather than her parents.
Right.
And so that just amazes me flat out that she decides, I can tell this girl who I barely know rather than tell my parents potentially that my life is in danger and perhaps theirs too if someone is truly outside of our window. So, again, we have to look at why she was willing, why are our children willing to share things with their peers that need to be shared with us, especially something critical as this.
Okay, so when we come back next week, we're going to pick up with, I'm going to allow you to finish lesson number five of your 13, and then we'll go ahead and get to the rest of them. And if anyone has any questions, feel free to email them, send them to the website, the Odd Bloom Radio website, or you can send it to amberray2797@gmail.com or oneteachablemoment@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Tamara Dix. Tamara Dix, we'll have you on next week. And real quick, what's your email? Real quick.
Email is tnicole9, that's TNICOLLE, the number 9, at gmail.com.
Okay. Well, I thank you all for joining us, and rejoin us next week where we pick up with 13 lessons from 13 reasons with Tamara. And everyone have a good night. Until next week, find that moment. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.